The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to The Ball Bags, a weekly podcast breaking down all the news from the United Rugby Championship, the NFL, the English Premier League, the NBA, and the wide world of sport. Hello, and thanks very much for tuning in to episode 2.14 of the Ball Bags podcast. I am back, I wouldn't say by popular demand, and delighted to be joined by the coach and the bottom feeder athlete. How are we, gents? Are we all good?
The dictatorship didn't last long enough. One more week should have done it.
Yeah, I'm off next week as well, so.
Apparently the viewers are already saying, can't wait.
Yeah. Expect increased listenership next week. So, gents, it was a busy weekend of sport. What caught your eye? We'll get to that later. Bob Vidrally, in from you?
Yeah, it's kind of all NBA for the foreseeable for me, and just some of the players that are playing really well. My player of the week is included in that, but we won't spoil who it is now at the minute.
Okay, well, we're going to get to it very soon, so the suspense there was probably a bit unnecessary. I suppose next up, in partnership with The Athletic, just who was your player of the week and why?
Who's going first?
Well, considering the coach has just left the chat, it would probably be yourself.
I had Jordan Poole.
Fair.
Who is... really, it's mad, isn't it? He's just transformed into this unbelievable player for the Warriors, and it's now like everyone has to worry about him. While Steph kind of rounds back into form, it just gives him a chance to kind of stay in the hunt of trying to keep pace with the Suns for the year. I don't think they will in the end, but it does obviously help that they have someone that can put up 59 points in the first two games of the playoff series against Denver. So for me, it's him.
Fair. I think the coach is experiencing technical difficulties, so it might be a while before he rejoins us. His obviously unbiased as always was Jason Tatum.
I think the Tatum take was warranted as well, like considering.
No, it wasn't, and I'll get to that later. It's a shame. He probably knew what was coming. My player of the week was Peter Mattany. I thought it was a huge week for Munster with the announcement of Graham Rowntree, and he really stood up in a must-win Champions Cup game. That was brilliant. So he was my player of the week.
That's fair enough.
If you had to give it to one of
them? Look, I just think from where Poole has come from to the kind of spotlight he's in now, I think it's really well deserved. Obviously I don't mind any of them winning it, but it's a nice kind of story of you draft and develop your own players, and sometimes that they can turn into superstars, even for if it's only a brief time. Who knows? Would you offer him the max?
Fair.
Out of curiosity, like if you were a franchise, like in the summer, would you take a chance on Poole developing further and give a max deal?
No. A max deal for me should be reserved for someone who has reached their potential. I'm not a huge fan of this buying in on someone who could reach their potential.
Yeah.
It has exploded in the past. Injuries are a massive deal in the NBA, and just character issues are a huge thing. So I think take the losses, avoid the gamble, would always be my kind of mantra when it comes to free agency. Mm-hmm. But look, we digress. We're sans the coach, so for agree to disagree, do you want to kick it off, bottom feeder athlete, with some more NBA action?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and I'll just say it.
Carry the ship.
Anthony Edwards, we're kind of, look, we know how bad Minnesota have been over, to be honest, we know how bad they've been forever, as long as they've existed. And my question to you is Anthony Edwards one of those, does he look like one of those five or six guys that can take a really dysfunctional, historically bad organization and lead them to the playoffs every year from here on out?
See, this is my thing. I have a huge issue with reading too much into round one, game one of the playoffs. You look through the rosters on both sides. The side that won is the only side that really has playoff experience in that starting lineup, and Patrick Beverley. There's a reason for that. I think this is obviously Memphis, that side they've built first year in the playoffs. They're very young. I'll make that decision at the end of the series.
So you need the series to decide, is that?
Yeah, like it's a game. I've seen enough playoff series that a side goes one up and then loses 4-1.
What about the body of work he's put in over the course of the year?
Yeah,
just to get them, I think if you put any kind of second year high potential player in there instead of him, so you take Edwards out and replace him with A, Cade Cunningham, or B, even Zion, or do you know this kind of way? I don't think they're even going to be in the playoffs this year. I actually don't. We've seen enough of the Karl Anthony Towns thing over the last while. When they drafted him, they thought he would be the franchise player. He's clearly not. But he seems to be playing really well as this second fiddle. Edwards has really made this.
Is he clearly not, though? Is he clearly not? I thought he was exceptional at him.
Who? Towns?
Yeah.
Towns is, yeah. But I just think he wasn't really able to deal with the pressure as well of being the actual franchise superstar. Edwards seems to be soaking this up, especially over the year. Minnesota won 46 games.
Yeah, but that West was not as, you've also got to bear in mind that the West wasn't as competitive as we predicted maybe start of the season.
No, and that's fair enough, but I do think regardless,
you know what I mean?
They're always just brutal. I think I'm kind of sold on him. I think he has that whatever it is, that it factor or that dog attitude. It's just a matter of time before he turns around and hates the organisation now, before and not putting around anything around him, and then he'll want to get out of there. But it's a promising couple of years ahead for him anyways.
And I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm just thinking a lot of the time it's happened in the past, it happens a lot, people overreact to game one, round one. For the listeners, the coach has rejoined us. Coach, you missed out on about 3 or 4 minutes of us absolutely slating you for yet another biased player of the week pick.
I think it's a fantastic player of the week pick. If you were a neutral watching, you'd probably go with Kyrie Irving, because he did have a spectacular game, but that calmness in that last 2 seconds of the game, my days. Arguably, Marcus Smart should have been in the show as well, because he's like a pit bull getting the ball back.
I'll get to it later. Anything else, bottom feeder athlete, you were going to bring for us, or?
No, I just wanted to see. I was kind of I'm quite bullish on him being the next kind of big superstar in the NBA. And I don't think it's, regardless of how this series works out, because really Memphis should kind of dust these boys off now and be done with it. But next year, you know, when you see that first year leap in a playoff series, and it can quite happen next year, then I think Edwards is going to be there next year. I think he's going to cause a lot of problems.
I also think, like, you've got to touch base on the fact that Karl Anthony Towns had a good year this year. He did a horrific year last year, but that was for personal matters. Patrick Beverley brings a whole load of experience with him. D'Angelo Russell is in with a shout of most improved player as well. He's been phenomenal this year. So the pieces around him have all upheld their side of the bargain too. Now, I sound kind of like I'm bashing Edwards here. I'm generally not. I just think maybe it's not all that glitters is gold, I suppose. Any other thoughts or
no? I know where you're coming from. Is that like sometimes we're very quick to anoint these players?
Absolutely.
I do think he's going to warrant the hype, though. All we see is continue. Yeah. In fairness, we haven't seen any kind of regression of him. It's been improvement on improvement, especially the tail end of the rookie year last year kind of showed what he was going to be able to do, and then this year it's just been. All acceleration.
True.
So.
Fair.
Yeah.
Cool. Moving on, Coach.
Yes.
What have you brought for us this week?
What have I brought us? Are we at that point already?
We.
Yeah, you were missing for like a half an hour.
You're missing.
MIA.
Yeah,
suits me.
You came back with your hair gel and everything. What are we up to?
Settle down. So, will we go to it? The Rise and the Fall?
Oh, Rise and the Fall. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. Don't act like you didn't know it.
Yeah. I think everyone knows at this stage. You need to get your own theme music. If you're going to have a consistent segment, it needs its own jingle.
I tell you what, my segment is about the only consistent thing on this show. So, I mean,
Man misses one episode in two seasons and he's getting called out left.
Oh my god. There's even like calls for him to be overthrown. Like, this is how bad it's gone. There's a Game of Thrones
right,
death.
I'm gonna hit you up with it. Today the headlines as we record on Tuesday of this Bank Holiday Tuesday. Is renting worse than a hungover Monday? Yeah, a Bank Holiday Tuesday. Manchester City set to trigger Haaland's release clause. What do we think? Well, not even getting to the rise or fall, is it going to happen, number one?
Yes.
Okay, and if so, is Haaland on the rise or on the fall? Because I have my own theory on this.
Yeah, he's good enough to play in the Prem. More than good enough. It's the injury thing that worries me. That's about it.
Go on, Sass.
I think you put him into that system at C.
That's what my thinking. You put him into that system, he's not exactly guaranteed to rise.
Oh no, I think he excels in it. Sorry, we have a discrepancy there. I think he will excel in that system and see under Pep.
What's the issue, Coach? What's the issue with Haaland? Come on, lay it on us here. What are we missing?
He's staring at the face of potentially the greatest Liverpool Premier League side ever, not winning another Premier League, and he just can't face it.
He's special.
I think if he'd gone to City at the start of this season, I think fans would have been salivating. But I just feel that City, well, they probably will still salivate and they'll still buy his jersey and all that sort of stuff. But I'm not sure the system fits. They will have to change the system to get him in. They will have to, definitely.
Oh no, professional athletes can't adapt to a working environment.
Ooh. It's not that simple.
I mean, they're basically right now, they're a coin flip at this stage. It's a coin flip who's won the Premier League and they don't have a recognised striker. So
I disagree with you. I think City are definitely favourites, strong favourites.
After the weekend,
fair enough,
they don't
but you give Liverpool a chance, no?
Yeah, a fighting chance.
And City don't have a striker, So
yes, correct.
I think he's going to excel, and the system will probably change.
But hold on a minute. How much more goals can City score?
It's just who's getting them more, not money. How more, like, it's
how long is a piece of string?
Yeah. Mate? So I mean, like, they scored. I don't know what have they scored.
Not enough on the weekend.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe he'll play the FA Cup games. But you know. Okay, so you both think he's going to be on the rise. I actually feel this could be a fall for Haaland.
Okay.
Yeah, look at Jaden Sancho, whatever
he went to United,
name he's going by.
Yeah, the talent level between those two is vast, though. Let's be real about it.
Yeah, but Jaden Sancho is probably the only player that you would have gone, like, from last season at Dortmund, going, he'd probably have a chance of getting to United 99's team.
You see, I think, and bear in mind, right, and the will be called out, but I'm going to say that the three of us here probably only watched, paid close attention to Bundesliga for a brief 2-week period around May of 2020. Let's call a spade here.
He's in the Champions League, mate, come on.
But Jadon Sancho and the headlines are directly proportionate to the passport he holds. If Erling Haaland was English, we would have read so many headlines about how great he is. Yeah. I think Sancho's hype is because he's English. And a lot
Erling
of
Haaland is a glorified Erling Haaland is a glorified Harry Kane.
Yeah. At a fraction of the cost for what Spurs are looking for Harry Kane.
That's because he's English, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and you're going to get another 5 years out, probably.
And that's why it's good business.
I actually just hope
it's the same striker.
I hope he just stays healthy. He's a joy to watch, like.
Haaland.
Yeah, he's, man, Jesus, like, he's terrifying. It's unreal.
If he goes and succeeds in the Premiership, depending on for how long, does it? He'd have to be up there with Messi and Ronaldo, because Messi never did it in the Premiership.
A goal a game. What's he got? What, like, is it, he's basically a goal a game for Dortmund. I think his goal ratio is higher now. He's starting to miss more games. So
if Stoke were to get promoted, and we had some rainy, you know, midweek fixtures, not a Wednesday, but like maybe early in the week, but definitely not on Monday. Yeah. Then maybe we can answer the question.
Moving on, Arteta has told Lacazette to focus on Arsenal amid exit talks. Lacazette has come out and pretty much said, Sasquatch, correct me if I'm wrong, that he's gone. He's out the gap.
Yeah.
Thanks.
See you.
Is that a rise or a fall for Arsenal? I think Arsenal lack a natural centre forward anyway, and Lacazette seems to only be getting older and not doing anything about it.
Yeah, this is the thing with Lacazette. He's not as old as you think. Not as old as you think. He is early 30s, very early 30s. Surprisingly young. But yeah, he's on the way out. It's easy to say it now in hindsight, and I definitely got bought into how well we were playing. The squad size has come back to bite us big time. We've lost Tierney and Tommy Ashu, who on suspicious circumstances, might I add, and all of a sudden we've just regressed. We can't score goals. Like, if you watch the last three games we lost, we just can't score. We can see the goal and we know we're going to lose. So it's a step back this season, but in reality, it was kind of coming, is how I would say.
Do you not think that these sort of things are kind of galvanizing Arsenal's squad a little bit to try and push on and get that top four though as well? Like, it was the same thing with Aubameyang.
Losing three games in the trot.
Well, no, but obviously when they shipped Aubameyang on, it was just like, there's the notice, we're not fucking around with any kind of diva prima donna stuff. Like, no, it's not ideal timing.
And while I agree, and I was all for Aubameyang, in the interim window, in the near future, it looks like a terrible move, given how well Aubameyang has settled at Barca.
I know.
And how much we struggle for goals. So, yeah, look, it probably is a fall to a rise, maybe. I don't know how you'd word that, but it's a small fall, if that makes sense.
But this is the thing I don't get with Arsenal. Who wants to go to Arsenal this summer? Genuine question, who is the type of player they attract now?
It depends on how we finish. Champions League football is a huge bargaining chip, as you well know. Like, yeah, that was the key to kind of Klopp's success in the early seasons when he was trying to rebuild that squad. Champions League football is critical.
Because you do have London, obviously, because there's been obviously loads of stories written how a player from abroad prefers to go to London than the North.
Then the North. There's also a huge thing in how big of a player will Chelsea be in this transfer window, given the current takeover, is going to be intriguing too. So that's maybe one less option.
Buyer to worry about.
Looking to move to London.
Yeah, but while Chelsea exit the fray, obviously Newcastle are entering it, so they really lose a body. You know that kind of way as well.
No, but in terms of like, sell a player to go to Newcastle.
Yeah.
Or sell him to go to London.
Yeah.
What's an easier sell?
Yeah, I suppose.
Moving on, Derby County obviously got relegated, unfortunately, over the weekend after a 21 point deduction, which is awful to see, because they'd put in a real boxer's battle over the season.
Played good football too.
Played good football, yeah. 2-3 Irish players involved there, including Jason Knight, who seems to be out the door now. I think he kind of said farewell to the fans. A player that we probably thought, you know, 20 probably as far back as 24 months ago. Well, definitely during COVID, that he could probably get a bigger move. I think he might have been linked with Chelsea possibly at the time, or a couple of the Champions League clubs. So, two-pronged question. Number one, Jason Knight, surely on the rise. I would have thought, big move. You would think top end of the Championship, if not the Premiership.
Yeah. He needs to play the next few weeks kind of cleverly, if that makes sense. Like,
I think Derby needs to manage him cleverly.
Don't jump at the first thing.
But also from a Derby, because they obviously, how many more games have they got left? Five? Four? I mean,
I think anyone doesn't want to go down to league. Like, you know, like Derby are obviously gone. Don't go with them. Just don't go down to League One. Especially if there's enough interest for you in the summer. Even if it is in the Championship again. You know, make sure you don't go to a club in the Championship that's going to end up having a point deduction next year, and it's all, you have to go through all that kind of crap again.
I would like to see him at maybe a Fulham type team that are going up. He'd fit well into Fulham's style of play.
Do you think he's good enough to actually play in the Prem for a lower Prem club next year?
I actually think he'd probably play better at a mid-table club than he would to a club that's battling relegation.
That's the thing too. Like, do you,
too much pressure at those clubs.
Your first year in the Premier League, you'll always be a classic Fulham player. It's like players at Norwich. And they get labelled like, you're good enough to win the Championship, but you're not good enough to play in the Premier League. Why would I buy you? And it's not necessarily player specific. It's more a reflection on the club. So you have to be very clever.
But I think anywhere between your Wolves, your Leicesters, Brightons, Brentfords, Crystal Palaces, he could be a good fit for Conor Gallagher, maybe when he goes back to Chelsea, somewhere like that. Vieira, great man that he's like proven to produce younger players.
Yeah,
like, so
Palace have a couple of really like superstar talents there, don't they?
I hate the way I say Gallagher now, because I watch him so much, because I really like him as a player, and I'm saying Gallagher. And then I suppose the other prong, actually there's another two prongs, there's probably three prong question. Wayne Rooney, surely on the rise. I think although he's on the the club's on the fall, or have got
the
relegated,
the fact that they got to April and weren't out of the hunt yet is amazing, I think, isn't it?
What's his next move though? Like, is it an Everton when they're safe?
Well, put it this way, right? I think Frank Lampard has the next 5-6 games to save his career as a manager. If he gets sacked by Everton, he'll never get another Premier League job. So, like, he's probably looking at maybe 10 years in the Championship, League One, before anyone's going to take a punt on him again. I think there's a lot of clubs lining up to take Wayne Rooney in, given the job he's done and the style of football he's got them playing.
I think he would be wise to just do maybe one more year though I never said League One, at a the high end Championship club to win the Championship and go up.
The problem is there's a lot of, in a Championship squad there's a lot of work you have to do. He's been there, like, you have to remember, he was also a player.
He'll never have to do as much work as he did this year. Never. It'll never be as intense as what he's just done this year.
I don't think there's, I don't think any clubs that are primed to win the championship next season are looking to recruit a manager this season. The end of the season.
Yeah.
So I think if he's taking a job in the championship, his best spot is probably going to be mid table.
Yeah. Has he got any chance of Burnley? If Burnley remains safe. Burnley are in a situation now where they can keep that interim manager in, the 23s manager. And just see how things go. He got a point from the weekend. See how things go.
Unlucky not to win.
If they went down, Rooney's probably a good appointment. And if they stay up, Rooney's probably a good appointment.
Mm.
You just don't do it before the relegation.
Have they got that? It's a stingy board. Like, it's a stingy board. Does he want to go there? Bear in mind, we've seen in Derby the style of play he wants to play. Can he go in there with that squad of players and get them playing that style of play without significant investment, which he's not going to get from the board? Or should he just give Burnley a wide berth? It's going to be a low budget, so he'd have to go in there going confident that I can get those players to play my style of football, which I'm not sure, haven't been drilled so long.
You can see it written in the stars now, another Irish player going to Burnley, can't you? Jason Knight's at Burnley with Wayne Rooney next season. Oh, it'd be horrid.
Yeah,
it'd be horrid. Oh, and then finally, Derby County, rise or fall. Is this good for them?
Oh, it's horrific.
They go, do they bounce straight back up with this new investor? Like, you have to remember, I was thinking about it last night from a businessman's perspective, right? Because they've gone down, the price probably goes down. You get them, and you're guaranteed a parachute payment, number one. And also, when you go up, you're going to get more money because you've been promoted. Surely that's what you're looking at.
No.
How much is your man worth?
There's been too many sides. There's been too many sides of like Premiership caliber, and look, given the amount of years they've been in the Premiership, Derby are kind of like your old school Norwich, up and down, up and down. There have been too many.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Besides, that have gone to the Championship, gone to League One, have never come back up. Portsmouth, Charlton,
Sunderland,
Bradford, Sunderland. It is Leeds. How long did it take Leeds to come back up?
A decade.
It's
the rest, I think, will it?
It's, yeah, look, it's I think Derby are in a lot of trouble.
Okay. This Saturday night, Dillian White and Tyson Fury hit the canvas in Wembley Stadium. Is this a rising fight or a falling fight for them? I know, obviously, everyone's not going to see Tyson against Anthony Joshua, but now it feels like that's probably not going to happen. Age is not on their side, nor is their weight. What do we think?
It feels like a filler, doesn't it? It does feel like a filler.
But they will sell it out, like, won't they? And they will have pay-per-view.
Of course. Plus, it's like a huge thing if it's British boxing, do you know what I mean? It's two British fighters. But it does feel like a filler fight for Tyson, if I'm honest. We've seen everything we're going to see from Dillian White. I don't think he's ever going to be at the level.
Is it possible that Dillian knocks him out?
No chance.
Mate, it's boxing. It
only takes one.
That she takes more than a few from Dillian White now, to be honest, to knock Fury out. Fury's not losing to Dillian White. Would you stop? What you put into your coffee before you come up here?
Would you stop spitting in your microphone?
I'm not
making a mixtape.
I'm venting.
You are spitting into your microphone like a young fella who thinks he's a rapper spitting into his Sony Ericsson back in the day. Yeah, no, it's like, of course, man, anyone can catch you flush. It doesn't matter who you are. If someone catches you flush, you're gone. That's like numero uno. Like, we've had enough stories from the past in pugilism. Like, Buster Douglas springs to mind. So, yeah, but I don't think he will, obviously.
So it's all over from now, is what you're saying. This is it. This is the end.
This feels like a waste of a fight, a waste of a camp for Tyson Fury. But we would have said the same about Anthony Joshua against Yimán Ruiz. So
you never know. You never know. And then finally, moving on to my final hit or miss, rate or fake headline of the day. We had announcements last night, or the early hours of the morning. Capital One, the match on TNT, Brady, Rodgers versus Allen and Mahomes. The rise or the fall? Is this a pitiful attempt at changing the game? Is this, what is this? What is it?
It's a reason to keep NFL relevant during NBA playoff season. I don't like the new format. I preferred it when it was professional golfers with the,
yes,
they did it on the back of COVID. I like it. It's quite funny. It's worth a watch. I don't think it's a bad thing. I just think it is what it is.
Brady and Rodgers on one team is a bit of a strange combo.
Yeah, let me tell you, the crack will be minus 90.
Whereas Allen and Mahomes will be cracking cans and
Stone Cold
Steve Austin. I don't know if the boys can golf.
Oh, Mahomes is very good.
The boys can golf.
Mahomes has game. Don't know about Josh Allen though.
But look, he's not playing for, he's not going out there to embarrass himself, put it that way.
That's true too. I also heard Josh Allen is pitching but champion, so it's a good short game.
Right, well, look, lads, that's been it. That's been me. As I see the team buses, footage of the team buses arrive at Anfield.
No worries. Cool. My segment this week is the Sasquatch's Crystal Ball 2.0. So I brought it up maybe a month ago. Probably going to do it maybe once a month. Just effectively, it's a series of comments designed at sparking debate and, more importantly, hate speech. I think we're far too nice. So think of your worst mate's worst opinion when he's out of view on the gargoyle. So I'm going to throw them out. I'm not going to say I wholeheartedly believe, but for the purposes of entertainment, I will defend these comments. First statement. The ground City have made up in Manchester means United will never, ever, ever again be the biggest club in Manchester United.
Correct.
Oh no, that's fucking false. No, we're not having. I'm not having
Trafford's
that.
Crumbling. It's crumbling.
We build a new one, right? Don't start.
You won't. You've
Don't
no money.
Start. We're the biggest club commercially in the world. Fuck off.
Do you know what the best thing for every other fan in the country was? Ronaldo scoring a hat trick because it's just papered over so many cracks last weekend. It's been fantastic for every other fan for that to happen. Sasquatch, do you not agree with that? It's just been magnificent. Everyone's gone. Even my mates in my WhatsApp.
I'm not
going
to sit here and Ronaldo, have you berate me in my club like that.
It's the best thing to happen for every other fan in the country. Was Ronaldo scoring?
Like how are United going to take? How are United going to regain the ground? As in, like, City have also invested in kind of youth structures in the city.
Yeah, no. In fairness, they really have put a good bit of work into the actual city, city itself. Like, I won't argue.
So not alone are City spending more on players. Not alone are City winning more, but they're also developing the best youth in the area. So
Toronto, yeah, making
how are United going to catch up? How are United going to catch up?
I don't know.
Legitimately.
I think we need new owners realistically for anything to happen, don't we?
So you need Saudi money owners. And then you need 20 years later you might catch up to City if City's like cease productions in the morning.
Yeah, change the topic. I don't want to talk about this anymore. It's quite frightening to think that it is probably right, but new owners in Manchester would be the ideal thing, because the sooner you get them and then they're willing to spend money, the sooner we can get back competing again on all fronts. They're trying to take control of the city back, is that, you know. Manchester is currently blue.
At what point do you see Man United, not in a one-off game, but consistently competing or beating Manchester City? Like, how far away is that? Because I say it's 11 players away, minimum.
I suppose we'll have to wait and just see what the crack with Ten Hag is going to be now, you know. I mean, we're not going to know that until September. So
you will know, but you'll know. That's another interesting fact. Like, when are they going to announce that one? Because it's like everyone knows, apart from the Manchester City board or Manchester United board.
It's supposed to be everyone knows. Couple of days, because they only kind of agreed to compensation package.
Well, that's a disgrace. Like, they should be leaving until after the last game of the season and then announcing it. It's just, it's saddening, but it's also fantastic.
He used to like you.
Oh, that had the desired effect. That had the desired effect.
Yeah, that hurt.
I don't know what United need to do to be guaranteed Champions League next season.
We're not
season.
Getting Champions League this year or next year. I've already.
So no one wants it this season.
I mean, finishing the season. Next season, finishing up there, like they can't. Like, who goes to United?
Anyone
how long does United have left as Manchester United, though? No, but how long do they have left as being attractive as a club?
Well, because they keep paying the wages they pay, they'll always be attractive.
Okay, let me rephrase. How long is it while that they have the wages? How long is them left at paying that rate, like?
I think this summer.
You can't pay a goalkeeper over $300,000.
I think this summer is kind of the make or break.
Make or break.
Yeah, genuinely.
But what is break? Like, what is break? For Man United fan, what is break?
Like not getting, because like I actually top four like once every couple of years instead of currently getting top four like every year right now. But if you don't get top four this year,
no, I think you can go.
We're not going to be. You're not going to be much more or worse than that. Like, come on, we're not going. You're not going to be that far. Like, the fall is probably roughly going to be the same as Liverpool's fall that they had.
Yeah, but Liverpool only really had it for 2 seasons.
We're gone for a while. Lad.
No.
In terms of not qualifying for Europe.
Well, as far as the fall,
there's a massive fall in terms of not winning trophies. Yeah. That's fine.
It's a similar kind of fall, I think. I don't think it can't be any worse than that. They're too much money. A new owner would kind of solve a lot of problems. Anyways,
I think the fall could be worse this time.
Well, what's the fall? How bad is the fall? Tell me what the fall is, and I'll tell you if you think that's realistic.
Like, if you were to finish sixth with no trophies. Liverpool had this knack of picking up a Carling Cup here and there, or a Worthless Cup, or a Community Shield, whatever, which kept fans appeased because they got their day out. But, like, if United drop to outside of Europa League spaces and don't win anything, that's bottom of the barrel, I would have thought.
Yeah, and it would never be, like, that would be the worst it would ever be, though. You know what I mean? That is, if it's going to be bottom of the barrel, that'll be, you know, it's not going to be like we're going to start finishing 10th, like, and
if I was a United fan, the thing that would bother me most, and it never happened at Liverpool, I don't think that I can say, players are playing better for their country and want to play for their country, and they come back and play muck for United. Pogba is a perfect example, world class. When he plays for France, looks like you get into any team
he
in the world.
He also plays beside Kante,
and he comes back to United.
Like,
yeah, but as an individual on the pitch, like, his technical ability is much better. He can pass a ball 5 yards.
Yeah, but he's allowed to just go and have a free roll because he's Kante beside him. Like, Kante's like having four other midfielders beside you in one. Like, we know how good.
We're going round and round in circles a little bit here.
I feel like I'm on top.
I know.
And I think this is because the coach knows what's coming next. The Nets will go further in the East than Harden, and by extension, the 76ers.
No, because they're not going out the first round.
No.
Absolutely not getting out this first round. Celtics
no,
are
they're
gone.
Not.
The Celtics have home court advantage and gave up an 8-2 run in the fourth quarter. And needed a buzzer beater to win game one at home. I am telling you now,
look exciting.
Kevin Durant will not look as bad as he looked on Saturday.
I'm giving the Celtics.
The Celtics are in big trouble. I back at time recording, it's 1-0. They're playing again tonight. I back the Nets to make it 1-1 tonight and head back
to
Brooklyn.
They're not playing tonight.
They are, aren't they?
I think they're playing this evening,
I think so.
Yeah.
Alright, apologies.
Yeah, because
a Celtics fan, he doesn't even know that. You pack that up there now, go and head down and watch the match there.
To be fair, he is correct. He is actually correct.
It's the weekend.
He's actually correct. No, they're playing again. No, they're playing again tomorrow night.
Isn't that Friday night?
They're playing Wednesday night. I think... Bear in mind, this is a Brooklyn side that's had, like, Kyrie for, what, a quarter of the season? Kind of had him...
Yeah.
I think there's a lot to be afraid of about as a Celtics fan. You were cruising, and you nearly lost the game, game one, in the Gardens. Potentially one of the most daunting venues you can go to is game one in the Gardens. And you nearly
I think tomorrow night the Nets could get it. Celtics win night three.
That's back in Brooklyn then, you see.
I know, both are, yeah.
No, Wednesday night is...
No,
is in
Wednesday night's Brooklyn. Wednesday night's Brooklyn, baby.
Shouldn't be.
Sorry, I'm sorry, not sorry, you're wrong. I'm reading my dates wrong. It'll be... Celtics go 2-0. Celtics
3-1. I think the Nets nick one. In the Garden.
I don't think so, actually. I actually think they're going to be good.
I don't see it in
a world of trouble. I'm putting it out there.
It's really interesting, though, the way they do those playoffs. And, like, surely at some point, environmentalists are going to come down on the airfares and the outputs and all that sort of stuff. Surely.
As opposed to, like, the regular season.
No, what I mean is, though, they're going back and forth. Like, okay, when it gets later on.
You're suggesting a bubble like scenario that's never occurred before,
yeah,
really.
In a centralized venue.
No, what I'm saying
because
is.
Of the environment.
I don't know what's going to happen, okay? Maybe they play them all in Vegas. I don't know. But particularly when it goes East versus a West Coast team, and I know typically they'd probably stay. If it was, like, say, the Lakers and the Celtics, and the Lakers are playing two nights later or whatever, they'd probably stay in Boston.
They generally kind of go around that area and play, say, Chicago.
No, but in playoffs.
In the playoffs, sure, they can only play each other in the finals. The West Coast teams can only play the East Coast teams in the finals.
Yeah, but they still have back and forth.
But it's only one series. It's kind of neglected and it's negligible then at that stage.
But well, did they fly home, do you think? There's two nights between, say you like the Lakers and
Celtics.
Oh,
they're flying back.
Oh, they're not going. They're not flying home between two games.
That's what I don't think.
Wait, say that again.
If a West Coast team's playing an East Coast team, and the home game is two night home game in Boston.
Oh,
say.
No, they're not flying home after the first. Sorry, yeah, they fly home for the return two legs like in Boston, all right.
Yeah,
and then they go
right.
What, five,
end
six,
of story.
Six.
The Celtics are getting through here. It doesn't matter.
The Celtics are going through. To be honest, I think the Celtics are going through.
Put the Celtics on upset alert. That's all I'm saying.
I would think this is the hardest game. If the Celtics get through this. There won't be a problem winning the championship.
Deluded
me. Standing
the
way.
The Suns will make mincemeat of them. The Suns will make mincemeat of them.
It's an enticing series, so now more and more I think about it, isn't it?
Yes.
It's the best game out of the whole series, probably. That could have happened.
I'm delighted to see Marcus Smart got Defensive Player of the Year. Just want to give him his ups because it was deserved.
Fair. Moving forward, Graham Rowntree is the man to help Munster find themselves again, but he won't be the man to bring them back to the promised land. So I think the reason I brought this up is, if you look at kind of domestic rugby right now, Munster are the third side in the country, and they're arguably the fourth. If I'm a Leinster fan, goes it saying, I watch Leinster, I know how they play, I know our style. If I watch Ulster play, I know how they play, I know their style. If I watch Connacht play, I know the same. Albeit they've kind of less resources. But Munster, we don't really know their style of play. So I think Graham Rowntree is the perfect man to bring them back and kind of embody what Munster is, bearing in mind Limerick Hurling has probably won the sports battle in Limerick. But I don't think he's the man to take them back to titles. But I think he's going to be good for the next 2 years till Munster kind of redevelop themselves. And
I'm
then
not
be someone
convinced
else to take them on.
Irish provinces are in a strange predicament because everyone else outside of here is so bad. So I don't think we actually realise how bad Munster actually are at this moment in time.
But if everyone outside of here is so, so bad, mm-hmm. are Munster really that bad in comparison? Like, Munster in a quarterfinal of Heineken Cup. So they're obviously not bad in terms of European action.
No, you'd argue you'd fancy them. You'd always give them a chance as well. That's the thing. You'd never write them off.
Oh, you'd always give them a chance, but... Who have they got next?
You're just bringing these questions on me and I've nothing in front of me.
Like, there's not many teams left and I see them beaten.
No. Which is fair. They may also have to play their game, their home leg, in the Aviva.
Is that not confirmed? I thought that was confirmed.
I don't know if it is confirmed, but it looks likely.
So they're going to be playing it in the D Fortress, do you know what I mean? So.
Aviva is the national stadium, mate. But look, we'll not argue with that. But I suppose Munster's next fixture is Toulouse. Victor's over. Victor's over Ulster, obviously, in the last round. But like, if you look at Exeter, they're fourth in English Premiership right now, so they've overcome arguably the best side in England, the fourth best side in England. So are they really that bad comparably, or has the standard of domestic rugby just dropped in Europe?
It's probably the start. This is where we need to start talking about European League, because it's leaving us in the dust. And if Munster were playing European rugby, they'd attract probably more players. But then again, the RFU would have to change contracts up a little bit
why do we need to move to a European league? Like, we have the closest thing to a European league right now.
Yeah.
It features four of the sides in Six Nations. Soon to be.
Just scrap Wales, cut them off, push them further in up Nordic or something.
Up Nordic.
Munster confirmed quarterfinal to be held at Aviva Stadium due to Ed Sheeran concert. Fair. There you go.
What do we think about that? Do you think Graham Rennie's a good man? But yeah, I think he is.
I think he's good, but I don't know if he's a head coach.
And that's why I think he's the perfect man right now. He's probably not the perfect man to see the plan through.
Is he kind of like Michael Checa?
No, I think he's just more an old school Munster. Like, Leicester and Munster are kind of same kind of vibes.
Yeah.
Vibes. I'm throwing out vibes. It's a 30-year-old. Jesus
Christ. Look, I hope he does, and I hope they do, but it seems very far away at this moment in particular time.
Mm. Fair.
I think.
My final one.
Murray, by the way, before you say the final one, the two-legged thing, are you a fan or no?
Interesting. I think if you're a side that won the first leg and lost the second leg, you hate it. I think.
But as a neutral?
As a neutral, it's interesting. It's not perfect, obviously. Like, we knew once Leinster won in Connacht.
Yeah,
that they'd whip them back in the Aviva.
But if you look,
we knew when Ulster beat Toulouse, they were very lucky, and Toulouse had a man red card after 20 minutes. So on another day, Toulouse probably win that, and they did that. Great for Munster though. I think, like, if you concept here of Leinster are playing their quarter final away from home, I think it should just go back to the four rounds, and if you're the best side, you get home advantage, and it should be a single leg. I think it's better for rugby. Aggregate is less of a factor in rugby. It's very unlikely in rugby that you'll have level scores over two legs, whereas association football, 1-0s, 2-0s, 2-1s tend to be the most games.
Interesting.
But I wouldn't be a fan. Drop it out.
But I like the headline type stuff. You look at O'Gara and Bordeaux, like, it's good that you get two glimpses of him. Exactly. What's the other coach's name? Urias, is it? Or whatever his name is. That's kind of cool. Anyway, moving on. Apologies.
Moving on. No, you're grand. Last one from the Sasquatch's crystal ball. 2-0. Kyler Murray takes a note from Deshaun Watson and sits this season.
Don Peter.
Reason I bring this up, Deshaun Watson probably had the worst season to sit based on the off-field headlines.
Mm-hmm.
And he still ended up being the best paid quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray's not happy.
No, they still haven't obviously come to an arrangement that I don't know, suits his fucking appetite or look, Kyler is a good player, but you can see he's really faded at the end of the seasons. I don't know why. Obviously, until he can get over that and actually start taking the Cardinals, you know, anywhere down playoff line. Like, he was awful in that game against the Rams as well, in that first playoff game. He just, I don't know if it's to do with the fact that he's not built like traditional quarterbacks, and that, you know, he gets a bit more banged up and then he's not as effective down the line. But you can kind of see why the Cardinals are a little bit hesitant, is that like, first 8 games of the season, Murray looks like an MVP. Last 8 games, 9 games,
he's Russell Wilson.
He's very, yeah, like, his play falls. It's not like, oh, his play has dropped off a little bit. It goes off the cliff, like. So, like, if I was Murray, I'd kind of be like, look, I need to put 17 games together before I need to go start crying for my money, to be honest. I know he won't, but I think that's his best play, is that strong 17 games. You overthrow the Rams out of the division this year. You get a number, you get a top 2 seed, top 3 seed in the NFC, and your contract will be there for you in the morning then.
Fair.
You probably just go back and play baseball.
I don't like him. I just, like, it's all the bad vibes of a quarterback.
As a bloke.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, like, the face of the franchise.
You've seen his praises in rounds 1, 2, 3, and 4 last year.
Oh, say that again.
You were singing his praises in rounds 1, 2, 3 and 4 last year. Said he's going to be the face of the league. And
but like, the play is just so up and then it just falls. Like, it's like, what's this? What is it?
He does lack consistency. I'll give you that. I just wouldn't be surprised to see it happen, though.
No, I wouldn't be shocked if that happens to the NFL with contracts and trades now, because we're living in very unprecedented times. Like, it's like the Shield has lost a bit of its, you know, it's glamour. It's like the players don't really fear it as much as they should. Like, you know that way, seeing.
It's a players' league.
Players league. We're getting player empowerment in the NFL. What? Are we going that way?
Yeah. Fair. I suppose that's all I have from my little crystal ball, my little segment. It wasn't as rowdy as I'd hoped for, so I'll have to be very abusive with the next in the end of May when I bring it up again. Last thing, I suppose, in partnership with USA Sports, this week's, have you seen this? Keane Lynch's wonder point for Limerick against Cork on the weekend made all the more impressive owing to the fact that the hurl is in fact broken and his wrists are over the crack in the hurl. Which kind of broke today as well. Incredible score. Regardless of what sports you watch, if you're an international listener, give it a click, give it a watch. It's otherworldly. And if you want to know more about hurling, pop us a DM and we'll put you in contact with the bottom feeder athlete, who bring you for points and probably illegal substances, and then show you. And it'll be like a junior B fixture in Kildare.
Wait, what? Jesus.
Exactly.
I can't believe you just said that.
And as that, gents.
Big shout out to Terranure College playing in the Energy AIL semi final, obviously against
Thank you, and good night.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com. and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.